Beloved hearers of God's word, grace and peace to you from the one who was and who is and who is to come. Amen. I thought I would begin with a modest proposal. Given the words that we heard from the Acts of the Apostles this morning and the current real estate boom in Victoria, I was just wondering whether I would invite us to sell our lands and our homes and to lay those proceeds at the feet of Alistair and the wardens and follow that example of the early church. Now, if anybody is interested in pursuing that further, I know that the Transforming Futures conversation is going to be happening after our time of worship. So I'll just leave that with you as, I say, a modest proposal for us to move forward. We are invited this morning in our gospel into an emotionally complicated moment and scene. For the disciples, it is still Easter night. They are still reeling from the death of their friend Jesus, from the unexpected turn of events that has collapsed their world and left them spinning. You can imagine they're feeling like they'd just been hit by a freight train. I think we've all been in that room at one time or another in our life. We've been sitting there in silence, in shock, trying to absorb the grief of the death of a loved one, a disaster in our plans, an unexpected turn that has left us filled with fear and wondering what the future might hold. Doesn't seem real. How could it all be gone? What do I do now? There's so much left unfinished. There's so much left unsaid. And so in moments like that, what do? We sit with one another in stunned silence. We tell stories, maybe laugh hysterically at times, just to break the tension. But mostly we just sit in disbelief. Well, for the disciples, none of this was in their plans. Failure, who thought that they could fail? Jesus was the Messiah. They knew it. He had come to free Jerusalem, come to free the people of Israel. He was putting an end to the rule of the Romans. He was going to bring in God's reign of peace and justice, prosperity. They were all going to live happily ever after. Isn't that what we often believe when we attach our life to another person's life in love, to our spouses, our children, our partners, our friends, or maybe our work and our plans? We love, we take that leap, and we think we'll perhaps live happily ever after. We give our heart and we follow. So whether it was a Roman cross for Jesus and the disciples, or something less violent and perhaps more common that torpedoes our individual personal hopes and plans, we find ourselves today in that locked room trying to make sense with them of life's twists and turns. The women, we are told, are the first messengers of hope. Perhaps it is because they are more familiar with ushering new life into the world after fear and perhaps pain. But it is the women, led by Mary, who tell the disciples that there is reason still to believe. There is reason still to hope. And so we see this day how Jesus then comes to the disciples in the moment of grief and loss, fear and uncertainty, speaking words of healing and hope. Seek peace, he says. Practice forgiveness. Breathe. Always breathe. Scripture is always precise and concise in its telling, and yet we can imagine that Jesus' presence and his healing words visited those first followers time and time again, giving them courage not to give up, not to lose faith, and to continue the hard work of living. Thomas is usually the star of this Sunday, but I think if we follow the gospel text closely, we'll see that the writer really intended us, you and I, to be the focus and the main character today. Thomas is called the twin. And many have thought that the twin to him is you and I. He is our twin. Thomas is the one who is present there in that room and in that scene for all of us who are not there. He speaks our words. I need more than someone else's story to believe this. Show me. Jesus also says, you know, blessed are those who do not see but believe. And that means you and me. And lastly, John says, ending his gospel, these sacred stories are written so that you and I may have, we may believe, and we may have life in Jesus' name. We are intended to be the main character and star in today's gospel. Thomas is our surrogate because John knows that a sacred story, a sacrament, and a stirring in our heart can be pretty thin sometimes when we need to muster hope or courage, endure a loss, to find a way to heal. And yet that is what we have in community to carry us through all of our days, all of our successes, our failures, our fears, our hopes, and our uncertain paths ahead. We are given a sacred story, sacraments, a deep stirring inside, and the gift of rich, loving relationships around us, called the church, in which we try to make sense of life's journey, and we try to be brave when we are scared. The truth is, I think there is no other medicine, and I really believe that. There are many things that we are offered as distractions. There are many false promises that are made. There's an endless supply of substances and other things to numb us in these moments. But I believe no other medicine to heal us fully and wholly and completely when we need it. Sacred story, sacrament, a stirring inside, and a loving community. It's how humans make new life. And these elements are found in every faith tradition that has stood the test of time. Thomas has a bad reputation as a doubter. But in fact, again, paying close attention to the text, Jesus never uses the word doubt to Thomas. in the original text. The word we translate in English as doubt actually means something quite different. Jesus says to Thomas, do not be unbelieving. Do not be unbelieving. As Marcus Borg and others have reminded us, the true original pre-scientific meaning of the word believe, believing, is to give our heart to something, is to pledge our love to something, is to trust or to follow, to hope and have faith in something. That's what it means to believe. And so that's where we find ourselves this week after Easter, with them and with Jesus telling us, do not be unbelieving, in spite of everything that we may be going through. Or as that great rock band Journey would sing, don't stop believing. We are invited once more by the divine mystery, the Creator, our higher power, source of all life, whatever name we use, to connect with that mystery that is life. We are reminded and invited to give our heart again today in a new way and to a new way of living. Believe, breathe, forgive, seek peace. So here we are gathered in our little rooms behind closed doors. Every one of us has something somewhere inside of us of a loss or an uncertainty or a fear or an impatience deep inside our heart. This is not how any of us envisioned we would spend this last year, nor the months that appear to be stretching out in front of us. And yet, we wait, like those first disciples, in anticipation for the new life on the other side of this, our own time of testing. A time when all that will have changed will begin to be revealed. So I invite you, and I invite all of us, to let the sacred story, the stirring, the hope of returning to the sacrament, and the love of our community laid out in front of your eyes. Mend your heart, give you courage, and bring you life in Jesus' name. Amen.